every military analyst from China, Russia, the RAND Corporation, the Pentagon, no one disagrees. The International Atomic Association of Scientists with their doomsday clock in Chicago. It is the closest to nuclear war we've ever been on the threat escalation ladder.
We have a plan. We know what to do. So let us deliver. We must.
We will, of course, continue working closely with our partners in NATO. This is a moment for Europe, and we are ready to step up.
The Secretary General of NATO warning about the prospect of war, and he put it in really stark terms. Yeah. He said, we are Russia's next target, and we are already in harm's way. And you sort of wonder why he's saying that now, and it's partly about a message to European people. You do need to spend money on defense, yes, but also getting people ready psychologically as well. Yeah.
Now we are dealing with the third form of totalitarianism. This time it is liberal totalitarianism. So they are going to sacrifice everything, any normal rational interests, any normal values, in order to promote their crazy maniac agenda.
He said a short while ago, in some previous comments earlier, that we must be prepared for the scale of war our grandparents or great-grandparents endured.
We all agree that Ukraine is our first line of defense. We have to step up the military support for Ukraine.
Unelected dictatorship, Ursula von der Leyen, allied with the British Empire, that's the modern Hitler, the real thing. That is psychotic megalomania. That will get us all killed. That's the number one threat on Earth right now. This witch.
I want the leader of the European Union, which is now Ursula von der Leyen, to be democratically elected, because now he's not elected. She comes inside the European Parliament and we say yes or no, but I think it's more of a show than actually a vote, because she makes deals with all the political parties from before to vote.
The real problem, it is the nuclear fight, war between Russia and United States of America. That is the last call. That is apocalypse. That is Armageddon. If we could reduce this danger, this threat to European Union, and if United States will stay out of it, I think that is the main reason why nuclear war will not happen.
Number one, the war is won. Russia has won. If you want to stop the bleeding, if you want to have some sort of impact on how much further the Russians go in terms of absorbing territory, then sit down and admit that the war is over, that they've won, and hammer out some sort of solution. Because if you don't, this nonsense sponsored by MI6, the CIA, and Mossad in Kiev is going to continue. And as it continues, the Russians will move forward until they're confident that they have secured enough space, not just territory, but space, frankly, that allows them to feel secure as a nation.
That Russia is not going to attack Europe. It's funny for us. It's laughable because we never wanted to attack Europe. Okay, let's put it in writing. But there are some people who are not particularly, shall we say, with us. I don't know. There may be some crooks when everything is being fed to the society and the citizens are scared and they want to hear that we don't have any aggressive plans towards Europe.
Our own GOP senators that are coming out against it. Let me give you a wild guess as to where they are personally invested with in regards to their stock portfolios. You guessed it.
Trump's got to take the gloves off. Don't just leave NATO. Break up the EU. There's all these states that don't want to be under it. Most of them didn't even vote to get in it. It literally was set up as a trade deal scam, Treaty of Rome in 56. Point out it's unelected. Point out they're killing all these AfD candidates. Point out it's the new Hitler. And just break it up. We can do this. If you ask Grok, or if you ask a sports nutritionist, or if you ask the nutritionists on the Olympic teams, they will tell you that creatine is absolutely a must. TheAlexShowStore.com already has the very best creatine you can get on the market. But now we're introducing this, and I am extremely excited. Let me introduce you to this bad boy that comes in two delicious flavors. That is the recommended daily allowance of the highest quality type of creatine. Right there, concentrated, the very best. We get it from the top lab in the country, the highest rated. 5 milligrams of this a day. Bottom line, this is tasty, it's delicious, it's good for you, it helps children, it helps middle-aged people, and it really helps old people. If you're not taking creatine, you're crazy, and we've got the best.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Good morning and welcome to the American Journal. Happy Monday, everyone. Thanks to Rob Dew for filling in for me on Friday. I greatly appreciate it. Of course, we are back, and it's been a very, very crazy weekend. I know many of you guys were keeping up with the headlines, or you're looking to get caught up on the headlines because so much was going on. So we'll do just that today. As many of you guys know, it was a very sad weekend. Several terror attacks taking place all around the world. And we'll give you the very latest on all of that. I'll be joined today by Rob Manis. Now, he is someone with a very extensive background within our military. I'm going to have him break down all that happened over the weekend in Syria. As many of you guys know, 3 Americans were killed in an ISIS terror attack. That's according to the Pentagon officials that I've spoken to. They are saying that this was ISIS. It was a lone shooter. They're claiming that in this specific region that they do not have control over that area. The president of Syria does not have control over that area. And so that is the very latest on that. I'll break all of that down, though, of course, with the 32-year Air Force vet, combat vet, in just a bit. I'll also have Robert Spencer on the program as well, because many of you guys know there were several Islamic terrorist attacks, we could say, so far. We have been following what's been going on in Australia. We also know that there was an attack planned in Germany as well. It's absolutely devastating news. Robert Spencer following all of that for us, and he's going to join us as well to break it all down in just a bit. So we've got a lot heading your way. We also wanted to make sure not only that we're going to talk about the Islamic terrorist attacks that have taken place, but apparently, and it's just such a debacle right now, as many of you guys know, there was a tragic shooting over at Brown University over the weekend as well. It's been confirmed that 2 students were killed and 9 others have been wounded. The suspect apparently is still on the loose. Now, people were circulating a lot of different reports that were going around. Unfortunately, though, due to the police as well as the FBI, there was a person of interest that was apprehended, but that person has since been released, and it looks like that person had nothing to do with the attack. So, folks, we still have a terrorist right now running around our country because, well, there's really no camera angles, apparently. Brown University doing an absolutely horrible job at being transparent with the American people, so has the FBI. I mean, they've done an absolute disgusting, repulsive job. Just at being simple, being transparent, trying to explain to the American people what happened at Brown University. We have to constantly go with anonymous sources because our own government won't tell us what's going on. And of course, we don't rely on our government for much. But man, when 2 students are killed at a university in the United States of America, you'd expect a little bit more from our government. They've thrown out this crappy footage. This is the only footage we have of the suspect. Well, apparently, this is him when he was fleeing the scene. We know nothing more than this. I mean, this is all we have. Nothing else. Nothing else. Now, the tragedy, of course, like I mentioned, took the lives of 2 students, one of those students being Ella Cook. She is the VP of the Republican Club over at Brown University. Sadly, her church did announce that yesterday. It's absolutely devastating news. This young woman shouldn't have lost her life in this tragedy. But of course, this is what's going on all around our country right now. Americans are at risk because, well, we've got a bunch of terrorists loose running around our country. Now, obviously, there was these rumors, these reports going around on social media that they believe that the suspect may have screamed something out prior to the shooting. We have not confirmed that. We do not know who they are. They do not know their religious backgrounds. We know nothing. Nothing. Providence police are now detailing specifically the individual that they had in custody who was just released. Well, they're announcing specifically what happened and why they released this person. Take a listen.
Shortly, we will be releasing the person of interest who had been detained earlier today. And the Attorney General can speak a little bit about the rationale for that. But we want to inform the community that that individual will shortly be released from Providence Police.
All right, so Providence Police releasing this individual. Now take a look at these two Truth Social posts, because President Trump over the weekend announced that the suspect was in custody. And this is why there's so much confusion here, because there was this original belief that this was the individual, but apparently it's not. It's not. So President Trump posted on Truth Social that the suspect was in custody and then quickly corrected that error, saying that he's reversing his original statements and that since then realized that this is not the suspect. Now, the suspect is still on the loose. Now, how could this even happen in the first place? How could we allow this to happen in the first place? How is someone who has unleashed an absolutely horrific terror attack on an American university somehow get away? And we only have one crappy video to go with as to how we could ID this person. Well, in clip two, you're going to listen to the evidence that led them to this individual. Take a listen.
The FBI director specifically said in his tweet that it was a tip from Providence Police that led you all to Hampton Inn. Can you confirm if that's true? And what exactly was the evidence that led you to this person of interest?
Yeah, so it was there was a tip that came in, just like we were taking any other tips, and that one came in specifically identifying a person of interest, which was this individual. And so we, our detectives got on it, just like they got on another, but in this specific one, it was actually picked up by the FBI, and they followed through with it. And they ended up coming and locating this individual of interest, and at that point, we did a thorough investigation, ended up drafting some search warrants, came up with some evidence, but that evidence was examined, and we didn't have enough, obviously, to be able to prosecute anybody, and so the person was released. Go ahead.
All right, interesting enough, though, folks, that person has been released. Keep in mind, the evidence, the tip that came in, apparently was handed off to the FBI. So the FBI was the one who ran that tip. Now we have proof that that happened. In just a minute, I'll read that to you. I wanted to, though, go to this clip because John Miller, who was over on CNN the other day, was going out there and detailing specifically how we shouldn't really blame the law enforcement in Rhode Island specifically. This is actually an FBI screw-up. Take a listen.
When the police chief got up, he described, you know, this lead came in overnight to the Providence Police. So that's our lead, Providence PD. But it was handed off to the FBI, who ran with the ball. When you look at the people in that hallway where CNN got that exclusive footage, who do you see? You see FBI agents, you see U.S. Marshals, you see a lot of federal officials there. And police were very careful to subtly point out during this press conference this was an FBI-handled lead. And, you know, they got it once it was brought back to the station, and the involvement of the Attorney General and so on. Has there been some friction between the Providence Police and the FBI today over this? I'm going to tell you there has been.
Yeah.
But ultimately, the determination has been made that they don't have, not only do they not have enough to hold this person, but they have multiple indicators, starting with his statement when they hit the door, you know, in the early mornings of the hour, that I haven't left the hotel, and forensics tests that don't prove otherwise.
All right. So keep in mind, folks, as he just said there, it sounds like this is an FBI screw up. Take a look at this tweet that was posted by the FBI director himself, Kash Patel. In it, he talks about they utilize the cellular analyst survey team to provide the geolocation capabilities. And as a result, earlier this morning, FBI Boston Safety Streets Task Force, with the assistance of course, the U.S. Marshals, like he detailed there, detained a person of interest in a hotel room based off a lead that came from Providence PD, confirming what you just heard there. So maybe the president heard directly from the FBI that a suspect was apprehended, and that's the reason why he put out that tweet. Again, folks, this is so insane. I keep telling you time and time again, we catch the FBI director posting things too prematurely without truly vetting it. This is the FBI right now. Now, again, he doesn't say specifically suspect. And it's very important that we say just that. They keep saying person of interest. And then that person's name was somehow leaked. And if he's truly, isn't it, the person who had nothing to do with this, gosh, that is absolutely horrific. So again, right now, we have an individual on the loose right now who just killed two American students over at Brown University. We have no actual footage being released to the public. And when you ask the president, when you ask PD, when you ask the FBI, you get nothing. We have no information. We have no idea what that person screamed. We have no idea who he is, or even if it is a man. I mean, it looks like a man from the back, but you never know these days, of course. So just more failures from our law enforcement agencies. And PD is throwing this back on the FBI and saying that this is actually FBI. Truly it is. So we're going to continue to sit back and watch, but folks, keep in mind, this just highlights yet again that we cannot, and I know our audience is well aware of this, but you cannot rely on your government to protect you because they will fail every time. Let's turn to a horrific Islamic terrorist attack that took place over the weekend against U.S. troops. Folks have been reaching out to the Pentagon about this all weekend long, so let's just kind of go through the facts. As many of you guys probably heard, in Syria, there was a lone gunman who did open fire in an ambush on U.S. troops. The ambush itself was a U.S.-Syrian security meeting. And again, this took place on Saturday. Two U.S. Army soldiers were killed from Iowa. They are the Iowa National Guard. One U.S. civilian interpreter also killed. Three U.S. service members so far, and at least two Syrian security personnel have been wounded in all of this. The gunman is described as an ISIS gunman, someone who acted independently. Again, he had ties to the Syrian forces prior. Then they're claiming that he went astray and he all of a sudden joined forces with ISIS. But folks, keep in mind, when we talk about this, we're specifically talking about a new government that's being ran by a former Al-Qaeda terrorist. That's what they want you to believe, that he's former. Now, again, I reached out to the Pentagon for a comment on all of this. The one Pentagon official that spoke back, or did respond back to me, I should say, did say that they believe that this was an ISIS terrorist. They do believe that in this specific region that they do not have control. The Syrian government does not have control over this region. That's the reason why this did take place. Now, again, both of those individuals who lost their lives, those National Guardsmen apparently are from Iowa. It's absolutely devastating news. One of those individuals has since been ID'd, Nate Howard, who lost his life. He was ID'd after his father, who is apparently a police officer, did post online regarding his death. It's an absolute tragedy, and it shouldn't have happened in the first place. So many of you guys know the Trump administration has been slowly pulling our forces out of that region specifically. But again, this is what took place. Now, it apparently is an individual. To be more specific on that front. This isn't just a police officer's son. This is a police chief's son in Iowa. And so he did make that statement on Facebook announcing the passing of his son in that Islamic terrorist attack. It's absolutely devastating news. Of course, President Trump reacting to it by not only sending his condolences, but also on top of it all, reminding people, I guess he keeps wanting to drive this point home, this was an ISIS attack against the U.S. and Syria, as if we're somehow allies now, in a very dangerous part of Syria. This one is not fully controlled by them. The president of Syria is extremely angry and disturbed by this attack. Now, I find it very, very hard to believe that the former leader of Al-Qaeda, one of the leaders, one of the key individuals, is somehow hurt because Americans have lost their lives in his country from an ISIS terrorist attack. They never tell you, though. They won't tell you specifically, this administration, as to why all of a sudden they believe he's reformed And he's someone that we could actually trust and form an alliance with. They don't tell you why. When he was here in the United States, I didn't hear him apologize for his behavior, what he's done, his actions that was taking place in while he was leading Al-Qaeda. He's actually never formally had to address any of those issues because no one has the cojones to even ask him, not even our administration right now. We just buddy up with him and think that he is someone we could trust all of a sudden. The president telling us, though, that he does feel bad for the American troops who lost their lives and that one interpreter who lost his life as well. Finding that hard to believe. It was a really, really bad weekend, folks. I don't know how else to describe it. I mean, you're going through the headlines, you're reading through everything, and there's no clearer way to highlight the Islamic threat and what they've been unleashing on the world, the West specifically, of course, over these last few days. Thankfully, Germany was just spared, of course. Germany, who's obviously had a history of Islamic terrorist attacks since they allowed these jihadists to flood into their countries. German officials arrested five people on Friday for allegedly planning to use vehicles to ram into those who were at the Christmas market. They've arrested three Moroccans, a 56-year-old Egyptian national, who apparently is the ringleader, a 37-year-old Syrian national as well. Investigators, of course, they always have to like lightly tap around the issue. According to the mainstream media, investigators believe the plot was motivated by Islamist ideology. So, of course, five individuals who were imported to the region were looking to carry out a terrorist attack. We can't celebrate Christmas anymore because this is what the world has imported. We've imported people that hate the West and have declared holy war on the rest of us. And this is what's going on right now in Germany. As many of you guys know, a lot of the Christmas celebrations have been canceled, even New Year's Eve celebrations. Germany has canceled several of their celebrations, although their media claims that's not the case. There's ample evidence of just that circulating on social media. And it's not just that, Paris as well. Paris has been flooded with these third world migrants. Just as someone who was at the airport, I wouldn't even leave the airport. My flight was delayed and I was like, let me just get out of Paris because walking around and having to stay in Paris that night probably would have been horrific. As many people know, Paris has been completely invaded by third world garbage. And literally their streets are filthy. They have seen an uptick in violence. We see it all the time, the burning of cars and streets. Not from natives, of course, no, by people who they claimed needed to seek refuge somewhere. They have since destroyed that beautiful city, and now, well, there's no New Year's celebration. And this is what's going on all around the world. We'll coddle, we'll say things just to make sure that we do not infuriate these Islamic terrorists or those who claim to be peacefully practicing Islam. But the problem here isn't New Year's Eve celebrations, isn't the crowds, isn't those who go out to celebrate Christmas. Although they'll tell you that, and in Australia, they'll tell you it's a gun problem, even though only 6% of their population has firearms. And they have some of the strictest gun laws in the world. Everyone's dancing around the common theme here, and it's Islam. Let me give you some brief overview, and we'll dive into it at greater length as well in just a bit. But I wanted to give you an overview of what happened over the weekend as well in Australia. 12 people are now dead in Australia, including one shooter, after two gunmen, who are believed to be father and son, opened fire on Bondi Beach on Sunday. It was obviously a group of Jewish people who were doing just that. They were celebrating the first night of Hanukkah. When two Islamic terrorists opened fire, shooting them. Oh, it looks like the number went up to 16 now. It was at 12 this morning. Now, the footage is absolutely disturbing. It's infuriating, and that's the disclaimer you'll get from me. But take a look at these terrorists who decided to open fire. Apparently, according to reports, they're Pakistani. They have gone in and out of Australia, apparently, and back to Pakistan. We're allowed back into Australia. No word as to how that's even possible. But those two individuals, one obviously dead, one still alive, took the lives of 16 individuals, Jewish people, who were just simply trying to enjoy their holiday, which everyone should be able to do. Regardless of your religion, you should be able to celebrate with your family and loved ones. But that's not the case in this new world that we've imported, this horrific, they call it a religion. I don't think it's a religion at all. Families all across now Australia have lost their loved ones because of this horrific Islamic terrorist attack. And so many people won't tell you it's Islam. I sat back and watched our own FBI director and our vice president of the United States refuse to say that this was an Islamic terrorist attack. They said terrorist attack. They completely avoided the word Islam. Now, why is that? Why is that? See, this is the problem. This is the problem. Oh, and take a look at this one. More information piling in. One of the suspects who allegedly pledged their alliance to ISIS was probed by terror cops 6 years before he and his dad killed 15 people, which is now 16. We can't say Islam. Oh, there's no proof of that. They always wait, dance around the issue. You know, Laura Loomer has been calling it out, and I have to give credit when credit's due. Her and Amy Mech, I sat there with Laura, as many of you guys saw, at the Pentagon, and she kept grilling people as to why do we avoid the word Islam when there's a terrorist attack that's carried out. And the disgraceful FBI director, Kash Patel, who apparently is Hindu, has refused to use the word Islam, several occasions. Obviously, in the latest terrorist attack being carried out in Australia, refused to say that word. Islam. We need more proof. The fact that he's Pakistani, not enough. Not enough. The fact that he's literally carrying out jihad, not enough. The fact that it's quite obvious what's going on here as he opens fire on Jews laying out on the beach and celebrating Hanukkah on the first night of Hanukkah with their loved ones, not enough for our FBI director. He'll jump to conclusions on everything else, but he can't jump to the Islam conclusion. No. Can't offend them. Again, reminder, apparently he says that he's Hindu. Back in April of this year, there was, I believe, nearly 24 Hindus who were killed, who were slaughtered by Islamic terrorists for simply enjoying vacation, trying to sit back and relax when Islamic terrorists ran up, I believe it was a resort, and started slaughtering these people. Asked them to strip to make sure if they had tattoos, they knew that they weren't Muslim, and they were quickly executed and brutally executed. But our own FBI director couldn't use the word Islam to detail the terrorist who killed his own people. And then there's the individuals in Michigan. Remember that? That ISIS-inspired terror plot, which he was so proud to come forward and tell the American people that they had prevented. Well, guess what? He said it prematurely when they only arrested 2 of the 6 adult suspects. And the other 4 had to be later apprehended. One of them was even fleeing the country trying to head over to Syria to join ISIS when he learned that the FBI director had released the information about his friends being arrested. Cowards, all of them. Shame on our own vice president who refuses to use the word Islam to describe the latest terror attack that took place. Folks, we got more coming up just in just a few moments, specifically in detail about the brave man who stepped up to the plate and did tackle one of those Islamic terrorists. We'll hear the very latest from his parents in just a few moments. Do not go anywhere. There's more to discuss in just a bit.
It's hard to believe Christmas 2025 is almost here. And our 12 days of Christmas sale is going to end this Sunday at midnight. Site-wide on all the amazing supplements, the huge, giant, biggest selection of Patriot apparel, and more is 40% off. And that is a huge deal with apparel, because on average, it's marked up 55-60%. So you're getting this stuff almost at cost. A gigantic selection. It's an adventure to wear these shirts out in public. You've got the 1776 Classic Americana line, all the Trump gear, the InfoWars gear, a lot of comedy fun stuff, a lot of really, really cool hoodies, hats, shirts, you name it. It is an adventure. If you haven't experienced it yet, wear this stuff out in public. Now, you'll get a lot of love, but leftist areas need to watch your back. They'll probably try to kill you. But the point is, it is an adventure to wear your Patriot uniform, your colors out in public. But the big thing, the you want to take advantage of is 40% off on all the supplements. And a lot of these have been sold out, like Ultra Methylene Red, super popular, proprietary, original formula, incredible, goes great with Methylene Blue, limited supply, back in stock. Bovine colostrum, limited supply, back in stock. We just got stocked up on a whole bunch of other great items that have sold out as well. So take advantage of these deals right now at thealexshowstore.com and be the reason we stay on the air. They're close to shutting down InfoWars. We're still fighting on, but we have the Alex Jones Network, backup systems, and more. So when you go to thealexshowstore.com, I don't own that. Our sponsor does, Bigly, that owns the Alex Jones Network, and that will ensure that myself, the other host, and the crew stay on the air going into 2026 and beyond, when our voice and our analysis and our guests and our research is absolutely more critical than ever. Not just the general public, but people in government, not just here in America, but around the world. And major corporations are really listening to us. We're having a major effect. So thank you for being the reason we've been on the air. You are the InfoWar. And the InfoWar continues on as we the people fight. But we can't do it without your support. So do your Christmas shopping at alexshowstore.com and get great products that enrich your life and your health, and keep the tip of the spear on the air. It's a 360 win. It's a no-brainer. Thanks for your past support. Please take action now at thealexshowstore.com. And I thank you for your support.
Ho, ho, ho! Merry Christmas!
How is Alex doing these?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight, man.
I saw he's getting like, yeah, he's ready for the next
big. My friend
big.
Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for fucking hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger.
I saw Alex Jones, and he looks really good, doesn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah. He's losing all weight. Taking back my health.
You're so good.
That's the only impression I could do.
Yeah, Alex looks good, man.
Him and Joey
lost some weight. He looks good.
Dude, he looks great.
Yeah.
Ho, 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 ho! Merry Christmas!
I am making this historic announcement on Friday, December 12th, 2025. The future of InfoWars hangs in the balance. It is in your hands. They're having a state auction in January next year in about a month, but we don't even have the money for payroll or for satellites or for bandwidth. We've got this next shot to survive, but if we don't get the funds in, we shut down. So we're selling three emergency limited edition posters at InfoWarsStore.com right now that are critical to us staying on the air. And I want to encourage you to go now to get I Have Not Yet Begun to Fight, John Paul Jones poster, and two others, Make No Peace with Evil and Defend the West, Iconic Crusades. Go now to InfoWarsStore.com to get one or more of these iconic posters, limited edition. We cannot do it without you. I have fired the bat signal. Take action now if you want to stand with us in this fight at InfoWarsStore.com, and I salute you for your support.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Good morning and welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're jumping on with us. We're trying to catch you up on all the things that have been happening all across the country, all across the world. As many of you guys know, it was a horrific, horrific weekend. Sadly, several Islamic terrorist attacks taking place, two American troops and an interpreter being killed in Syria. We'll keep bringing you the very latest on that in a bit. Plus, in the next hour, I'll have two guests joining me to react separately on each of these issues, because it's very critical that we discuss all things related to Islam, obviously, issue here, but also why we are still right now in Syria. Before we get into all of this, I wanted to remind our audience that today is the last day to guarantee shipping. If you want a gift for Christmas, over at thealexjonesstore.com. So you got to stop what you're doing right now and head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. Final day today to order and receive all of your Christmas gifts before the holidays. Of course, many of you guys know it is 40% off the entire store right now in regards to supplements, apparel, media, and more. Now is the time to head on over to thealexjonesstore.com and make sure you get your Christmas gifts. I'm telling you, folks, we only have a few hours left. Plus, every time you make a purchase over at thealexjonesstore.com, you're going to be entered into the giveaway, which includes the Ford F-150 Raptor, plus 100, sorry, 10,000. I'm pitching in too much money here. $10,000 in cash as well. So head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. Right now, make sure you get your gifts in for the holidays. Now is the best time to do just that. And it is an incredible deal, 40% off the entire store. Again, over at thealexjonesstore.com. Stop what you're doing right now and head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. Okay, let's keep detailing specifically what took place, as many of you guys know, in Australia over the weekend. As many of you guys know, it was the first night of Hanukkah over the weekend, which sadly means that over apparently 16 Jews were killed while they were trying to just enjoy the holiday on the beach. Now, we're learning more and more about the two terrorists. They're obviously Islamic terrorists. They are from Pakistan, according to reports. One of them was apparently being questioned 6 years ago by terrorist law enforcement, I guess, in Australia. Apparently, they didn't have enough on him to arrest him and deport him. He's been going back and forth, according to other reports, to Pakistan and Australia, and they still let him back in, sadly. They opened fire on people who were just simply celebrating the holiday with their family, which every person, regardless of religion, should be able to do. You should be able to go to a beach and enjoy your time with your loved ones. But sadly, since we've imported Islam into all these countries, you can't do that anymore. You can't. To open fire, it looks like on a bridge, and we're opening fire on individuals just laying out on the beach. The video footage is absolutely gut-wrenching, but there's a little bit of positive news in regards to all of this. One brave man did step up to the plate and did actually tackle one of those Islamic terrorists. Ahmed El Ahmad is his name, individual who is being praised for disarming one of those attackers. Now, he was shot later in the arm and the leg, as you can see here. Just take a look at the video. He is a brave, brave man. Apparently, he does have a background in law enforcement, and so that is the reason why he did act. His parents, since he's in the hospital right now, did speak to the media, and I want to play clip four for you because both his father and his mother did praise their son and his brave act of heroism. Take a listen.
He has a fruit shop that sells fruit and other produce. He's been here since 2006, and he's an Australian citizen. What happened is, his friend told him, let's go have coffee at Bondi. They got there and were shocked to see armed men firing their weapons and terrorists. Their lives were in danger. He noticed one of the armed men at a distance, from him hiding behind a tree. My son is a hero. He served with the police and in the central security forces, and he has the impulse to protect people. When he saw people lying on the ground and the blood everywhere, immediately, his conscience and his soul compelled him to pounce on one of the terrorists and to rid him of his weapon. At the same moment, the armed man's other friend was on the bridge, or whoever he is. I feel pride and honor because my son is a hero of Australia.
I'm proud that my son was helping people. He saved lives, souls. God would not harm him because he was a do-gooder. My son has always been brave, helps people. He's like that. He saw they were dying and people were losing their lives. And when that guy ran out of ammo, he took it from him, but he was hit. We pray that God saves him.
It looks like he will recover, of course, but that is a brave, brave man who deserves the highest honor possible for stepping up to the plate. And it's important to highlight just that because, folks, obviously when there's a situation like this, sadly, a lot of people just don't step up to the plate. It looks like law enforcement, according to an individual who is apparently a key witness in all of this, claimed, and we'll play clip seven for you next, claimed that police decided not to engage with the shooter. I keep in mind, Australia has some of the toughest gun laws. They have restricted these gun laws. I'll go into great detail on that in just a bit. But when police were supposed to, remember, those are the guys, those are the good guys with guns who are supposed to protect you, and you shouldn't have a firearm because law enforcement will do it for you. Well, according to this witness, they waited 20 minutes before engaging with these Islamic terrorists. Take a listen.
Can you tell me what happened?
Yes, it was two shooters, one on the bridge, one under the bridge, and just started to shoot for 20 minutes. They shoot, change the magazine and just shoot. Simple as that. 20 minutes, with four policemen there, nobody give fire back. Nothing, like they are froze. Like for, it looked like 20 minutes, like, and they shoot, the guy change magazine. I look at him all the time. I was doing my babies under me, and I look at that. and it's just rifle and a pistol, and just shoot. And the other one was under. They start to come close to the audience. One of the people come, took his rifle and shoot him. That's one of them. That's what I saw. I didn't know how much I saw, but...
Who were they targeting?
Oh, all the crowd. Anyone. Jewish. Just shoot. Doesn't matter who. Men, all, kids, everyone. Was no...
Did they say anything?
I couldn't hear. Like, the shooting was so loud, we couldn't hear if they say. I was too far. Like, he was on the bridge, I was near the tent, so... But I saw, I look at him, I look what he shot, I look at his rifle, he aimed, he did, he really, like, take his time. He should take his time. And four policemen there didn't give fire back. I don't understand why. Why?
Because they're a bunch of cowards. You see, a lot of people take on these positions. They'll take away your guns, of course, and they'll pretend like they're going to be the first line of defense if something like this does happen. But then when it actually happens and you are the only individuals armed and supposed to be ready to protect, you get a little scared. You get a little scared. Now, we'll never know how many lives they could have saved if they would have engaged. And again, this is one witness claiming that they didn't do anything. But it's important to note, again, Australia has been, for many, many years now, been crunching down. They have some of the strictest gun laws in the world. As many of you guys know, they did, obviously, restrict guns years ago. These limitations began back in 96, it looks like. As many of you guys know, there was the Arthur Massacre, which took place, and that is the result of those laws. Now, again, they don't view firearms possessions as a right. They specifically just think that they could restrict it. Thank God for the Constitution, man, because, I mean, this government has been absolutely egregious when it comes to 2A. I guess they don't have 2A, so gun rights, we'll just say. And if you want to know why Australia is in this position now, well, it's because their prime minister, Anthony Albanese, is an individual who obviously is a globalist elitist who doesn't really understand the core issue. Or maybe he does and he just wants to dance around it. I always give people the easy way out by claiming that they're ignorant, but I truly think that this individual obviously understands what's going on. Take a listen to the Prime Minister in clip 5 because it's very specific in this. He is potentially trying to spin this, which is obviously an Islamic terrorist attack, on, get this, right-wing extremism. Take a listen.
We take ASIO's advice very seriously. We work closely with them. We receive regular updates as well. The Director General of ASIO has warned about a range of threats, be it anti-Semitism, the rise of right-wing extremist groups as well. And we continue to work closely with our security agencies.
Ah, the rise of right-wing extremism groups. Yeah, that's where they're going with this. You see, this is the problem here. This is why they do what they do. If they could sit there and blame those right-wing extremist groups rather than their own immigration policies that brought these terrorists into their country, well, then maybe they could do things like crunch down your personal rights. We saw Australia do it during the pandemic. As many of you guys know, they used COVID as an excuse to crunch down and attack their own citizens and take away their rights. And they've done it time and time again. Every time there's a terrorist attack, instead of actually blaming the individuals who carried it out, they go after the weapons. So as many of you guys probably knew already, this was going to be used to the Prime Minister's likings. He is exactly doing that. He's actually in clip 6 calling on tougher gun laws because the guns are the problem, not the Islamic terrorist, of course. Take a listen.
And I want to conclude finally by saying that the government is prepared to take whatever action is necessary. Included in that is the need for tougher gun laws. And this afternoon at 4 o'clock, I will put on the agenda of the National Cabinet tougher gun laws, including limits on the number of guns that can used or licensed by individuals a review of licenses over a period of time. People's circumstances change. People can be radicalised over a period of time. Licences should not be in perpetuity. And checks, of course, making sure that those checks and balances are in place as well. I'll take to National Cabinet this afternoon a proposal to empower agencies to examine what can be done in this area. Quite clearly, the Howard government's gun laws have made an enormous difference in Australia and are a proud moment of reform, quite rightly, achieved across the parliament with bipartisan support. If we need to toughen these up, if there's anything we can do, I'm certainly up for it, and I hope to get National Cabinet on board for that this afternoon as well.
Now, of course he's up for it. Of course he's up for stricter gun laws. Because the guns are the problem, not the people you've imported over the years. That is what they want you to believe. Let me remind you folks, again, Australia has some of the strictest gun laws currently on the books in the world. In the world. And also let me remind you that these individuals, one of those individuals, even though the information is obviously brand new, we're still doing some digging, one of those individuals was actually questioned by police because they believe that there might have been some terrorism ties here. And according to other reports, he was traveling back and forth to Pakistan. Why the heck would you let him back into your country? Is he actually an asylum seeker? Well, we don't know. We don't know how he claimed status to get into Australia. And if he did claim status by saying his life was in danger and he needed to seek refuge in Australia because he couldn't head back to his homeland, well, then why is he traveling back and forth? We have a lot of questions that are worth answering. Will they answer those? Probably not, though. Because another government failure, but they get to benefit from these government failures because now they can sit there and say, well, we need to crunch down on your rights. And although Australia doesn't believe gun rights are Australian rights, the rest of us who have sat back and watched what's been going on over the year truly believe that every person, I believe every person, should have a right to have a firearm, protect themselves. But these governments don't do that. Just to give you some background, back in Australia, prior to the mid-90s, about 15% of Australian households owned firearms. Currently now it's at about 6%. 6%! Majority of all of these gun cases were, or I guess these gun restrictions were rolled out specifically after, again, that terror attack we talked about, Port Arthur massacre, which took the lives of 35 individuals and injured 23. So they used that terror attack to crunch down and to stop people from owning firearms in Australia. Now the government is supposed to be your greatest protector in Australia. And according to that one witness, police didn't confront the Islamic terrorists that were opening fire on individuals laying out on the beach. He claims that for over 20 minutes, they just sat back and watched it all carry out because they froze. Now, one unarmed individual did tackle that one shooter. Imagine if he had a firearm on him. Probably wouldn't have had to put his life at risk by just tackling him and hoping for the best. Again, it appears it's really hard to see who this individual is, who he's going after. Whether it's the father or the son, it appears to possibly be the father who is now, I believe, deceased. But again, these governments aren't putting out the information. They don't want you knowing the truth. We're going to continue to cover the story throughout the day, as many of you guys know. Robert Spencer is going to be joining me in just a bit in the next hour to dig into this story more because, folks, there's more here. And Australia is going to be using this as a way to crunch down on guns rather than the Islamic terrorists that they've imported. By the way, over the last few years, they've imported, just in case you wanted to know, I went through the stats just to kind of understand how bad things are right now in Australia. In Australia right now, they've imported over 600,000 Muslim migrants. Now, right now, Australia's population sits at about 27 million. They have seen their population boom, though, due to this mass migration. And obviously, this didn't have to happen in the first place if the government actually protected their people, but they don't do. They claim they'll do it, but they don't actually do it. Let's turn to a little bit of an update in regards to the other Islamic terrorist attack that took place here on U.S. soil. As many of you guys know, an individual who claimed alliance to ISIS did shoot two National Guardsmen, one sadly losing her life. Another one was apparently has made a positive recovery. And according to the New York Post, the West Virginia National Guardsman, who was hurt during that ambush, has made a miraculous progress so far. According to his mother, she's been, you know, giving updates. His family's been giving updates. Andrew Wolf is his name. So many of you guys know he was in critical condition, but it looks like he's doing a lot better. Thank God. He's showing huge improvements. According to politicians, he was sitting in a chair. His right side is getting better. He gave his mother a kiss. He's been able to communicate, which is great news. As many of you guys know, he was just recently sworn in and he was just patrolling when he was shot in the head. But thank God he's been able to communicate, it looks like. And he is making a recovery. We don't know how extensive, obviously, these long-term health issues will be for him. But it's a bit positive compared to the overview, the projection that was originally reported in regards to their recovery. So we can at least say that is positive news. It was a really sad weekend. It was a really, really sad weekend. I'll give you an update too. I know many of you at home were late last night were trying to keep your eye on the headlines because we learned that Rob Reiner, as many of you guys know, he's obviously a very liberal activist. He's also a director, a producer, an actor. Well, the reports that there were two individuals stabbed or dead at his home, it turns out to be both him and his wife were both murdered at his home. Now, the outlet People is claiming that it's the suspect is a person of interest, I should say, is their own son, who apparently struggled with drug addiction issues. PD has not confirmed just that. They have kept this pretty quiet for right now, but they're claiming that it is a potential homicide. We do believe that the two were stabbed to death. And again, People Magazine is the one who is saying they have exclusive sources claiming that his son, Nick, was involved, noting his past struggles with addiction. Although we have not confirmed just that, that is what that outlet is reporting. Apparently, also according to other reports, Rob's daughter was the one who discovered both of her deceased parents in the home. The LAPD has confirmed the death investigation. They're currently looking, obviously, to learn more information, and we'll bring that to you when we learn of just that. The family put out a statement, though, saying that they are obviously devastated by the tragic passing of both Michelle and Rob Reiner. We are heartbroken by the sudden loss, and we ask for privacy during this unbelievably difficult time. Regardless of his politics, folks, no one deserves that to happen to them. Absolutely no one. So his family will remain in my prayers, and I hope yours as well. It was a very sad weekend. A lot of stories, and I'm trying to, you know, navigate them all. We're trying to report on all of them to make sure that you guys are all well aware of what's happening all across the country. We're going to go through more as well. There was devastating news. We could probably play this for you in clip 8 of a woman who was just walking in Georgia when suddenly a suspect who they have not yet apprehended poured acid on her. What was she? Just literally walking, folks. Just walking and enjoying the day. Take a listen to the very latest in clip 8.
A Georgia woman suffering horrifying chemical burns after being attacked in a popular Savannah park. Photos from her hospital bed showing bandages around her entire head. We spoke to her son and best friend who've been by her bedside.
I don't know that I'll ever be able to unhear just the terror in her voice.
Police say the attack happened around 8 Wednesday night as Ashley Wasilewski walked through Forsyth Park after a church program.
She felt and could see in the shadow from one of the lamps in the park somebody very close to her, and she turned around and went to push him, and then just in that split second was like, why is he pouring water on me?
Within seconds, Wasilewski's clothing started disintegrating.
She looked down and she could see that her pants were burning off of her.
She was later flown to a burn center in Augusta, the FBI now working to identify that chemical that left her so badly scarred. Savannah's mayor posting this photo of what he calls a person of interest, asking the public to help identify him. Forsyth Park is an iconic tourist attraction.
Forsyth Park, ladies and
gentlemen. Even featured in films like 1997's Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil. Savannah police now stepping up patrols at parks across the city and saying that based on their initial investigation, the victim does not know her attacker.
We have no evidence that this is part of a larger pattern.
Meanwhile, Wasilewski's friends and family are focused on her mental and physical recovery.
Having someone sneak up behind you at random is going to follow her for a while. I mean, it's going to be hard to deal with, and there's going to be some traumatic response to it.
Aaron Gilchrist, NBC News, Augusta, Georgia.
Hey, thanks for watching.
As many of you guys know, the news itself is absolutely devastating, but police are still looking for that suspect. Now, again, the suspect appears to be a black man. We don't have much in the way of details. Mainstream media completely neglecting it, at least today. The Today Show was nice enough to cover the story. But many outlets just completely neglecting to bring any information on that front. Folks, I just received an update, and I'm going to bring you this breaking news in just a second. It looks like the FBI is claiming to have disturbed a credible terror threat over the weekend. Allegedly, 4 members of a radical pro-Palestine extremist group were plotting a terrorist attack to carry out bombings, it looks like, in Los Angeles. The FBI told Fox News Digital that the members self-identified as a part of a radical group called the Turtle Island Liberation Front, an extremist group motivated by pro-Palestinian views and anti-law enforcement views. According to the FBI, they were allegedly planning to coordinate bombing attacks on New Year's Eve using explosives, targeting 5 locations across LA. Now, again, it looks like the FBI claiming that they have prevented that terror attack from taking place. I'll bring you more details as we learn more, but that news coming in just this very second over at Fox, claiming that exclusive, of course. So we'll keep bringing you updates on that as it develops. We've got our eye on all the press conferences happening all around the country, so I'll bring you the latest in just a bit. But folks, we got a lot more to discuss in just a few moments. Don't go anywhere. We have 2 incredible guests joining us in the next hour of the program. In the meantime, though, make sure you head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. Today's the last day that we're going to guarantee Christmas shipping. So that means you'll get it before Christmas over at thealexjonesstore.com. It is 40% off today. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com now.
I tried methylene blue, and instantly I bought a 9-month supply after that. I bought the Optimal Human Super Greens. I bought a 4-month supply of that. I bought Power Plant Plus, Methyl Drive, and Nitric Boost. And when I started all of this, I was 260 pounds, and I'm now down to 200 pounds exactly. And my testosterone when I started was 350. I was a low-T, overweight, useless, straight Christian male. My testosterone 2 weeks ago tested at 1,004. So these products really work. And when you hear someone say, the methylene blue is energy, but it's not like coffee, I was yelling at my radio, my TV, or my phone going, what do you mean by that? What does that mean? Is it like a drug? Like, what is it, crack? Like, what are you talking? Listen, folks, whoever's on the fence about trying methylene blue, if you're 30 years or older, it's like waking up in your 20s. Like, I'm getting the chills just talking about it. I bought a 9-month supply of methylene blue because of how well it worked. I can't express the gratitude I have for you guys over there and producing these kind of products. And shout out to the late Art Bell for turning me on to Alex Jones in 1995. So thank you very much. These products really, really work.
Well, we appreciate you calling in about the products and much, much more, of course. We are thankful for that. So thank you, Doug, for staying on hold. I know it's been a while, so we appreciate you for that. So I want to remind you all again, as you heard, to head on over to thealexjonesstore.com because everyone's bragging about the items we have there right now, and they're 40% off. You got to head on over right now, this very second, thealexjonesstore.com. We're selling out of a lot of your incredible items. They're still fully in stock, but they're going to sell out soon if you don't get it now.
I'm going to go to the store.